good morning, Texas. Here we are on the 22nd program on the 22nd of July. Interesting how that works out. But anyway, we are looking into prayer. We're looking at what the scriptures tell to us today about prayer. We looked at some of the false teachings, the false comments, the fakety, if there's such a word as faking, fakety, of so much prayer today and prayer teachings. So let's look at prayer again today. And we're going to look at Paul, of course. Now remember, when I talk about Paul, I'm talking about what the risen Savior taught to Paul to teach to us. Now when a person's reading the Gospels and they think that those Gospels are to apply to them, then they're really hearing from the apostles. They're the ones that traveled on the sands over there and did all the teachings. They were teaching what Jesus taught. Jesus taught the way of God, but those apostles did a lot of the teaching down there eventually. So why is that any more difficult today for somebody to consider, well, these are the teachings of the risen Savior to Paul, to us. So I know some people think I use the word Paul too much, but just always remember, Paul's the one that told us this stuff in a King James Bible. Yes, these are the teachings from Jesus Christ to Paul, and if I remember correctly, which quite often I don't, I think we went over the verses where Paul did meet with Christ, and so these are the teachings from the risen Savior to us through Paul, preserved in a King James Bible to this year, to this very day, and it will continue to remain. Okay, with that odd little introduction, let's get to 1 Timothy chapter 1:16, and let's look at the fact that Paul is to be our pattern. We don't imitate Paul, but we are told to follow Paul as he followed Christ, which is referring to the risen Savior. I always clear that up. And he says in 1 Timothy 1:16, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy." Here's why Paul was given this mercy. Remember, he was the one that was persecuting all the church of God during those days, okay? "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." That's us. Which should believe hereafter, believe on him to life everlasting. That's us. We come after Paul. So Paul is there for our pattern. So if Paul is there for our pattern, we're going to look to Paul's prayer life for a pattern for us to look to. So let's look to Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Let's look at the fact that Paul always prayed for his folks, for his people. And do the best you can to consider the fact that when Paul was talking about what I'll show you these verses, remember he was praying for us as well. He's praying for his folks during his time. But like he says here, "for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting," he's considering the people down the path. So this is us. So this would be an example for us as a father. This would be a pattern or an example for us as a pastor or a mother or a parent. As you're praying for somebody else, your family, your kids, your husband, praying for your wife, anybody that's in your list of concerns by your heart, these would be applied to them. Now notice how often Paul said he prayed for his folks. Remember, those folks include us today. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." That's quite the statement when you think about it. "Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." Now, I've been told by many people that they're just too busy anymore to study the scriptures, to listen to the sermons, to keep up to snuff with what we're putting across here on the website. And I know we're all too busy. This is a busy life. We have knowledge and information just being flung at us through the computers. And I love to bunny trail that off into Daniel chapter 11, but we will stay away from that. But can you imagine, this is Paul, "without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." So without ceasing, we need to be aware of our people, the pastors towards their people, fathers and mothers towards their children, It's like it's a pray without ceasing. It's always in your mind. You're always asking the Lord about these people you're concerned about. Now, what is it that you ask? What is it that you pray? Well, we'll take care of that probably in the next program. But right now, let's keep going on. Let's just look at the fact that Paul prayed without ceasing. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Then he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Notice he's not thanking God for the grace given to him. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Paul's thinking of the other people, the people out there. He's not thinking of himself. If you notice some of the modern prayers nowadays, it's all about ourselves. In fact, let's bunny trail just for a moment. Let's bunny trail to that Jabez prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I know that was a big thing. There's books out on that thing. I would imagine that there's listeners on this particular station that would be aware of the Jabez prayer. Maybe you've prayed it every day or something. I would imagine you're probably wondering, why is it not coming true? Or maybe I'm so out of touch with the modern Christianity today, maybe that prayer of Jabez has kind of gone by the wayside because it didn't work. But this is the prayer. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, and this was the prayer that we've been told today, that we should pray over and over and over. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. That's his prayer. And God granted him that which he requested. I wonder why that prayer hasn't been answered in your life or whatever. It's very simple. That was an Old Testament prayer. That's Chronicles even. That's back to the Jews. That's Jabez. That's a specific thing. That isn't something we should be repeating over and over. And Paul says here, for the grace of God which is given you. Paul's always praying about somebody else. He's not praying for himself. There are a few times he does, but I mean, this is not a concentrated effort on his part. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Here, I'll make the page flipping sound for you so I can tell that you folks are out there following along in your scriptures here. Ephesians 1, 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul was always praying for his people. Philippians chapter 1, verse, I can't read my notes here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. And if you want to read that with a little bit of an inflection to it, you can say that that's the Southern version there, where he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for y'all, making request with joy. But he's still praying for y'all, us all. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Praying always for you. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Doesn't say we pray. You know, it doesn't say, well, we're thinking about you. Our thoughts are with you, which we hear a lot today, kind of the ecumenical safe way of saying, you know, we're kind of concerned about you. But, you know, Paul says, listen, I do not cease to pray for you. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. There it is again. And notice he says we. This isn't just Paul. This is Barnabas. These are all the people that are with him. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. That's a fantastic verse. Just read that again. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Now remember, we've talked about we need the faith of Christ. We live on the faith of Christ every day, Galatians. But our own faith can still grow stronger. We've talked about that. And here's one of his prayer requests, is that our faith would grow exceedingly. We become stronger with our own faith as well. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. If you do a word study on the word charity, you will see that charity is to be given from each other of the brethren amongst the Christians. We have charity towards each other. That charity, we are not told to have charity towards the lost world. We are not told to have charity towards the enemy as such. We are not told to have charity for everybody in the world. Okay? Now, if you want to go to John 3:16, I imagine some of you might have thought this, well, it says right there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and so should we. Well, let's put this into its right context. Let's go to John 3:16 for a moment here. Let me ask you a question here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. By the way, most of your Bibles don't have the word begotten there anymore. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to notice where it says, for God so loved, past tense. Doesn't say for God so loves the world. It said for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So there was a time when God, as it says, loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son. That was a one-time event. So yes, he loved the world enough to give up his only begotten son. So God offered his love one time to the world. Anybody who rejects his son, rejects his love, they do not have the love of God, although they are still experiencing the grace of God, as there's no chastisement and no judgment until their day of judgment, the white stone judgment. So we can't go to that verse that all love the world. How can we love the world? How can we have charity? I know your Bibles don't have the word charity in it anymore either. Charity is a direct definition of loving the brethren. There is a purpose for the word charity versus the word love. So you can't go to John 3:16. Okay, so let's continue back here. We are looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Then we see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, there he's directing that to Timothy, but he still has a particular person in mind that he's praying without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And then let's finish up here with Philemon, chapter 1, verse 4. He simply says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, again referring to a certain person. But Paul was always praying for his people, and he was praying for his people without ceasing. Do we do that? We're just too busy. And being too busy is a lousy excuse. So this message about Paul and prayer, the following Paul as a pattern, will be good for me to listen to. I hope it'll be good for my website family who's listening to these programs as well as you folks out there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that you would consider a lot of things that we're talking about, the doctrinal issues, the King James Bible, rightly dividing, all the things that we've talked about, and now about growing up as a Christian with our prayer life. Not to be playing the religious prayer, power prayer stuff, but the truth about prayer that pleases God. Okay, now, let's look at some verses where he tells us to pray. I mean, if the Spirit of God is interceding for us, and because we don't even know how to pray, then the common question would be, well, why should we pray? Well, the reason we should pray is because we're told to. Paul doesn't ever talk about signs and wonders and miracles and things towards the Gentiles. If he does, it's because there's Jews involved. Early part of his ministry, there were Jews there. That's what those signs and wonders were used for. But when it came to directly to the Gentiles preaching the kingdom of God, he didn't talk about looking for signs and wonders and speaking in tongues, etc., etc. He was telling us to pray. Just pray. Now, prayer is just fellowship with Christ. And if you want to hear what Christ says back to you, open up your King James Bible, then the Spirit of God will show you in those scriptures the answer to your prayer. I believe that without a shadow of doubt. Now, some of your pastors are going to go to 1 John, and they're going to say, well, see right there, 1 John is about losing fellowship with the Savior. So if you don't do the things that are in 1 John, and if you haven't got your sins all confessed, then the Lord will break fellowship with you. Again, bogus, because it's rightly dividing wrongly. And besides that, why would God, who's taken care of all that he's done with you, separated you from your flesh and the spiritual circumcision, took care of sin, why would he break fellowship? What kind of a God would break fellowship with you because you're not walking the perfect, clean path? Maybe you missed a sin or two to confess. I mean, those kind of things. That will take place during the tribulation. That's the everlasting gospel. That's what they will have to do during the tribulation. Yes, they can lose their fellowship. Yes, they can lose their salvation based on their walk. But yes, they can confess and get it back. Unless, of course, they take the mark. And then, according to Hebrews, to the Jews, they can't get it back. But as far as breaking fellowship with the Savior, you can break fellowship with the Savior because you quit reading and you quit talking and you quit praying and you just ignore him. Yeah, you're kind of breaking your fellowship, but you know he's still there. Remember, it's the faith of Christ that sustains us during the day. And it's the moment you turn back to God, the moment you open up that book and you get back into it with your heart and everything, Christ will be there. He's not going to wait for you to do something good before he's going to come back and get back in you, that kind of stuff. It's just, it's a power play. It's a guilt trip that pastors put on people nowadays. They need the money. They need the parking lots paid for. They need to pay for these marvelous buildings and these spectacular campuses and these fountains and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, let's get back on track here. Let's look here about, he tells us to pray. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 12. He's telling us all the way through 9, 10, let love be without dissimulation, be kind and affectionate one to another. He's got these list of things that pleases God. One of them was, it says, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That isn't him talking about himself. That's him telling us we should be continuing instant in prayer. All the time. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's part of the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Colossians 4, 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. He tells us to continue in prayer. Isn't that continuing instant in prayer? Continuing in prayer and watch in the same, that's with prayer. Watch in the same is talking about continuing in prayer with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, and then we'll jump to verse 8. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay? Then he says in verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now that has been an interesting verse to me for years. Lifting up holy hands. Are we talking about the Pentecostal hand wave hallelujahs? No, not at all. It's just lifting up holy hands. Are your hands holy? Well, they are if you've been separated from your flesh. Otherwise, your hands are full of sin and you're still dead in your sins. But if you're dead to sins, then your hands are holy. And I find that interesting where it says lifting up holy hands, not clasping them or pointing them in a little prayer fashion. It's actually lifting up holy hands. That'd make a good study, wouldn't it? To find out about what you do with your hands while you're praying. Does it matter? I remember when I was a kid, I peeked during a prayer one time as I was a Lutheran when I was a child. I remember seeing my dad, he had his hands on the pew in front of him instead of folded. which I always thought you fold your hands when you talk to God. And I saw my dad have his hands on the pew in front of him. I thought, wait a minute, can he do that? Why can he do that? And there were some of my doubts that were started. I got some other doubts I learned back when I was a child, but we'll save that bunny trail for another day. But anyway, it does say, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So when you're praying without wrath, boy, there's no anger there, you know, and doubting. You just pray, you make your statements, you pray for these people, and have no doubt that God knows what he's doing. That's the whole point of that thing. Do you think maybe this is Paul telling us that when you have your doubts and your prayers won't be answered? No. Just read it for what it says. Will that men pray everywhere, not everywhere, but everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It's that simple. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's us. Paul can do it, so can we. Well, we can certainly tell that we're to pray without ceasing. It's that simple. Now, what is it that we pray for? Well, we'll get to that in the next program, but let's jump to somebody that we should be praying for, and how should we pray for him, and who's that? That's your pastor. That's the preacher. That's the evangelist. Of course, if they're preaching Paul, rightly dividing, if they're preaching Paul's ways in every church, as it says, and you'll see here what he's referring to directly here. If you have a pastor that's like that, let's look to Romans verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now, yes, remember I said earlier that Paul always just prayed for other people? But Paul has the desires for his people to pray for him as their minister, as their apostle. And that's different than Paul just praying for himself. He's asking the people to pray for him. Together with me in your prayers to God for me. And here's a specific. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. He always wanted his Jewish brethren to hear what he was saying and to believe that not only was he the Christ, but that he was the risen Savior. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. So he's asking his people, you know, pray for me that my brethren would understand what I'm teaching and would accept it. And then I pray that I would come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you, hoping that they also will be refreshed, so should he be. So you read that verse and you put that towards your own pastor if he's preaching the truth. Website folks out there, these are verses that you should actually be praying towards me as a pastor, I've been there for years for you. So this is what you can do for me. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. It was always a struggle for Paul. He was always being arrested or being persecuted or something. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Make what manifest? Little grammar lesson here. It is referring back to the mystery of Christ. So see, if your pastor is preaching the mystery of Christ, then these are your prayers towards him. Now, if he's not preaching the mystery of Christ, then you need to get yourself a different pastor, the ones out there that's preaching the mystery of Christ. And if you can't find one, just turn yourself in to www.scatteredchristians.org, and we'll preach the mystery of Christ, or rightly divided Bible following Paul, who was following the risen Savior. But look at what he says. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. You know what this program is on the radio station? This is an opportunity for utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, that's Paul's teaching, the goodness of God, King James Bible, rightly divided, which is becoming more and more rare these days. And then he says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So that's what this radio program is, and somebody's making this possible, and that's an answer to prayer. Very simply, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, he says, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the first two verses, finally, brethren, pray for us. Here we go again. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. That was Paul's desire for prayer for him. That the word of the Lord may have free course. And I pray that this program, that the word of the Lord, the scriptures, we have enough scriptures in these 30-minute, 25-minute programs here, but I just pray that the word of the Lord has free course in your life, and it'll be glorified in your life. But like Paul found out, he says, why am I your enemy when I tell you the truth? And we know that the word of the Lord is not having free course these days. It's been changed, it's been corrupted, it's been stolen from people, yet it's still available because God promised to preserve it to this day and beyond. So, brethren, pray for us, pray for me, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Is it with you? Do you get encouraged and excited about these scriptures? Do you enjoy reading Timothy and Titus, sound doctrine that tells you how to live your life to please God? If that's true, you know, that's what he's this answer to prayer. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Paul knew that it's just a hopeless cause. He was happy to tell anybody about the risen Savior, but if those people were against him and against the whole thing, then he just went on to the next town. And then Philemon chapter 1, verse 22. This is one I don't talk about much because it has to do with the website family or you as a congregant in your church. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. In other words, these people want to take care of Paul. And he just said, withal, prepare me also a lodging. You know, prepare me a place. For I trust that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. So he's trusting his people that they're praying how they can take care of Paul. And I would have to say, website family out there, are you praying how you can help take care of me? That's just what Paul's doing. And if you have a pastor out there in your little local assembly and he's preaching the mystery of Christ, pray, how can you take care of him? Now, we'll talk about pastors in another program. There's a lot of false teachings about the power and the authority of a pastor in the churches today, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a pastor who preaches and teaches the mystery of Christ, and that's through Paul. Well, that was quick. We've run out of time. I better just close the program. We'll continue with prayer teachings and preachings tomorrow. Have a good day, folks.